when we started putting these sermons out on the internet, we weren't really expecting anything. Just seemed like a good idea to do at the time. So Shannon and Miss Catherine, if you're listening, listen carefully. This is a letter I got from some people that are listening to the sermons on the internet. It says, "Hi, Wendy and Paul. I am writing to tell you that I heard Paul's sermon at his church. Shannon put it on the computer for me to hear. I really enjoyed it. When I came out of the apartment to come over to mine, I smelled roses strong. As the presence of God let me know that He was with me. I stopped and enjoyed the smell as it almost took my breath away. I said, 'Thank you, Jesus, for a beautiful feeling.' Shannon was walking with me and he didn't smell them. That meant the blessing was just for me. What a blessing. My favorite flower is roses. I love them. Even though I am far away, your preaching touched my soul. Paul, your voice has a velvet sound from heaven. A small group of people are deeper in their hearts as they listen to you. I know churches with 300 people or more that sit there like a bump on a log just to say, 'I went to church today.' Your church people you have in church are heart and soul. You bring them to church as they want to hear you preach. You make them laugh and yet you give them what they came to hear. The power of Jesus keeps them strong to get through life. You tell it like it is, no fake put on. That's why you bring people to you. God picked the right person to get His job done." And then she goes on to talk about the next time we get together, that it's going to have to be up at their place so we can play bluegrass and sing. It says, "God bless all of you all as you hear this letter. Sincerely, Miss Catherine Manley." She hears you guys from miles away.
She's in Delaware.
Delaware. That's it. Delaware. That is a hop, skip, and a jump out of here. And so you're blessed by that. And it was a very nice thing to get, hearing that. So don't think that we're not reaching out there. Others this morning, joys or concerns? If there are none others, let us join our hearts together. And as we come before the Lord, that which is spoken too strongly, that has been written here or on your heart, just that hand up and down as we come forward. Thank you. Let us join our hearts together. Father, You created everything. Make no doubt about it. We didn't crawl out of some primordial swamp somewhere as fish and start walking upright. You formed us, Your very own prized creation. And then You gave us something else that we never deserved, and that was free will. The freedom to choose to worship You or not. We choose to worship You. We choose at this very moment to fall on our knees, to be in love with You, to thank You for Your blessings, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your never-ending watch and care, and for Your forgiveness of our all-encompassing sins. When we fail You, You love us more. When we fall down, You pick us higher up. When we are at our worst, You care for us the most. Thank You. You've heard a great many things laid out here this morning. Cancer is such an ugly thing. We don't know it. We don't understand it. We may never figure it out. And people that suffer from it suffer greatly. Be with them. The families that pray for them. The friends that hurt for them. We don't know why. We don't ask why. This disease has become so prevalent. Perhaps it is that thing that You're now using to draw us closer to You. And so we come to You begging that You relieve them, that your will be done. And pray, Father, that those suffering do not leave without knowing you. And for those who have battled it, and by your grace and your wonder and your amazement and your absolute never-ending miracles, have beaten it. Amen. What a testimony we have to say, look at what God did. For those that we touch in our lives, Father. For little Hannah and for Pastor Tracy Weiser. For Harmony and for our Mid-Atlantic district, which desperately the district needs your help in redirecting them. For traveling mercies. For blessings. For those things that we cannot speak of out loud, not even to our most closest personal friend. The Holy Spirit knows it. You know it. You read it. The words written down in this prayer box, when the hand goes up and down, Father, be with that creation, that child. Bring them to strength. Let them know you are still absolutely there. For this country, for the leaders that make decisions, whether it be here or abroad. And for those who suffer for your name's sake in countries we don't even know about yet. When we pray this morning, Father, when we come together, Father, let us not trip and stumble and mumble across the words. Let us say them, each knowing the meaning, as we pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning if you would. Let me rephrase that. Open your Bibles now. You're a church. It's not a request. It's a requirement. Romans chapter 8. I love Paul's letter to the Romans. I don't understand, but maybe a piece of it. And I keep reading it anyways. And every time I read it, a little bit more of it starts to make more and more sense. I guess that's because God will let me be less and less thick-headed as time progresses. But in Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in the first verse and read the first four. And then we're going to move on a little bit. We're going to look at life through the Spirit. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the Romans. One of the most popular chapters of the entire book of Romans is chapter 8. It explains so much. And he writes these words, Paul writing, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of the sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Flip on down to verse 29 now. 28, sorry. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? May God add His blessing to that beautiful set of Scripture. As we prepare for the message, let us join together in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds and set upon us this message that comes from You, that it will strengthen us, lift us, guide us, urge us, promote within us a sense of need to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Set us at labor now for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't ever let me hear you end in a prayer like that. I heard far too much of it this weekend. I am banned, or at least my wife would like me to be, from most auction houses in the tri-state area. I am barely allowed to go to auctions anymore. And furthermore, when my uncle and I decide to go to an auction, my wife hides the checkbook. She tries to hide the car keys. He'll just come pick me up. I love auctions. Even if I don't buy anything. Even if all I ever get there is a ham sandwich. I love going to an auction. I love hearing how people can get crazy over the simplest things. Recently, there was an auction for a painting of two men playing cards by some artist named Paul Cezanne. Cezanne. A painting. Two old boys sitting at a table playing cards. Anybody know what that painting brought? $250 million. I ain't going to go to an auction like that. I like cars, old trucks, motorcycles, all that stuff. Last year they had an auction where they sold a car that I thought I ought to have. And I wanted to go to the auction. It was a simple car. It was a 1957 Ferrari Testarossa 250. Can you see me in that? Right? Goggles, leather coat, scarf blowing in the breeze. As I would pull up to the curb and go, "Hop in, babe." First of all, I couldn't get my leg in a car like that. It set a record this past year as the most expensive car ever sold at $16.3 million. Needless to say, yeah, I wasn't there. In 1913, the J.I.K.'s Threshing Machine Company built what was probably the biggest tractor they ever built. It was a 3060 model. It developed 30 horsepower at the drawbar and 60 horsepower at the flywheel. I have had the opportunity to see one of them. Today, there are only 5 of them known left in existence. It's the third most rare tractor on the face of the planet, and of course, I would know that. And they sold one not too long ago at a sale. My high-end tractor buying days, based on that price, are over. Because it brought $400,000 for a tractor that sold new in 1913 for $1,250. My father, whom I get my love of auctions from, and grandfather, and uncle, was very close friends to a fellow from this area named Buck Arts. Some of you all may know that name. Buck collected everything. For Buck, when he wanted something, that was it. And so when I was a kid one day, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, I don't remember, We went to Buck's farm, which is over here on Ranch Road, and me and his boys was milking, and in the middle of milking, Buck turned to my daddy and said, "Well, we got to get to the sale." And they milked in staunching barns. And everybody in here that's milked in staunching barns, you know there ain't no way in the world you're going to stay clean, right? You're going to smell like the rear end of a cow no matter what you did. They jumped in the old pickup truck and they went to this sale. There was a clock there. Buck collected clocks. I don't understand about what clock it was. I don't remember. All I know is when they got to the sale, they got something to eat. And they stood in the back of the sale, leaned up against the fence and waited. And when it came up to the clock, they had better started in on it. And one by one they dropped off. And the dad tells the story. The auctioneer would take a bid from somebody up in front and he'd look to the back. He looked to the front and he looked to the back. And finally, people started turning around to look. And Dad said he was kind of embarrassed. Because there they were in their barn boots, leaning back against the fence, probably a green fog around them, bidding away. Came down to Buck and one man. And Buck said, "Hey, we can stay here and do this all night. But at the end of that night, that clock is going home with me." And it did. And Dad got in a truck with him. They were on the way home. And he said, "Buck, why?" He said, "Well, I'd have spared no expense to have that clock." Spare no expense. Recently, and I'm talking 2 weeks ago, there was a sale up there in Pennsylvania. I showed some of you all the picture book. And they had some neat tractors in there. One of them tractors brought $300,000. And it was said that the man was willing to go to $1 million. Spare no expense. Wouldn't you like to be able to just say that once and mean it? It's funny how you say that. I have never said those words. Well, that's not exactly true. One time when me and my wife was at the Dairy Queen, I told the counter guy, I said, "Go ahead and put them sprinkles on. Spare no expense for the lady." And he looked at me for a minute. "Don't take me out in public unless you're ready for the consequences." But it's a funny saying. It's a funny way of saying something. It's a funny way. It doesn't even make sense. Spare no expense. When you want something so bad, spare no expense. You've seen that in the old movies. "I don't care what it costs. Spare no expense to satisfy my desire. Spare no expense to take care of my wife. Spare no expense." Keep saying that one time. Then start thinking about the words. How many people in this room can honestly say, "Spare no expense"? We all have to think about it. But this isn't a sermon about money. This is a sermon about something completely different. No matter how bad you want something, are you really willing to forgo the expense? And don't even think about it. It's almost impossible to think of that, and yet it happened a lot through the Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 22 with me. I have a hard time reading this, no matter how many times I've read it, and I've read it a lot, because it is one of probably my top five stories in the Bible. It chokes me up, it tears me up, because it shows God. Genesis chapter 22, starting in the 6th verse. It says, "Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife." Excuse me, as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him, now that I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Can you imagine? God looked down at Abraham, gave him a son. How old was Sarah? 100. I could go a little bit offside there, but I know I'll get smacked, so I'll keep my mouth shut. But she was 100 years old, and they had a child. They had a beautiful child, and this was it, man. Fathers, you know what you want when you first hear your wife pray. Oh, you want a boy. Don't sit there and tell me you want a girl, because I know better. I know what I wanted. I am scared to death of girls. Little ones and big ones. He had a son. After all them years, he had the moment. He had where he could place his legacy on. And God looked down at him and said, Abraham, if you love me, you spare no expense and you sacrifice your son. Three days they rode, 50 miles. Anybody know where they went? Anybody been to Jerusalem? What's under that dome? That's where he was going to do it. Put him up there. God said, spare no expense. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Put him up there. Lay him down. Had a knife in the air. I can't imagine. I can see that knife up and about to go down. The little boy laying there. Stopped him. You have proven to me, you've shown me, you have foregone everything, you have spared no expense in your love for me. Brothers and sisters, you should get emotional when you read that, because you know what? That's what God's saying to you. You should spare no expense when declaring your love for me. Amen. Amen. That's what he said. That's what he chose. That's what he wanted. And yet today, how many times do you catch yourself thinking about who's going to think of me what when I want to talk about Christ? We all fall prey to that. Sometimes when we have to think about the cost of sharing Jesus on this world and the persecution that we might face, we clam up. Sometimes God doesn't want us to, but He'll let us know. But we should spare no expense when we talk about Jesus. We should spare no expense when we talk about what we have to give. We should spare no expense, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about our words and ourselves, that we would know that when we speak, we're speaking because Christ said to. I'm not sure if I've ever shared this story or not. If I have, it's been a long time. But this is a good story, and it's a true story. A man and his son and his friend, they were about 18 years old, the two boys. They boarded a little sailing ship. The man was going to take them out and teach them how to sail. Now, I've never caught on to sailing because sailboats don't have an engine on them. How do they go? Oh, that work for a piece of cloth? No, I like this. But some people are into sailing. We come across the water yesterday on the way back from Easton. It must have been a good day for sailing because there were about 300 or 400 boats out there. And I thought, my God, that is a lot of work. You always see somebody going jib-ho and getting hit with a beam on the boat. That ain't for me. But he wanted to take them out. He wanted to teach them how to sail. And so they were out and they were sailing. And a storm come up. And it overrun the boat. And the boat turned and broke. The mainsail broke. And the boat flipped over and threw them all in the water. And they were struggling. The preacher was telling this story. He said the man had to figure this thing out. He said he was in between two and he could only save one. What would you do? I heard Pastor David Jeremiah tell a backstory to this. Yes, I do listen to him too. He said a young man, a man that was a farmer near the railroad tracks, also had a job as running a bridge, the drawbridge, to put it down and put it up. And one day he knew the train was coming, so he went over to do his duty to put the bridge down. And he looked as he was getting ready to put it down. And at the top of the drawbridge, there was his 7-year-old son who had climbed up. And now what? If he puts it down, his son is gone. If he doesn't put it down, all the passengers on that speeding train are gone. And this was a little black and white movie. And it ended with the words, "What would you do?" So this man in the water, looking, his son's friend, what do I do? Whom do I save? What do I do? The preacher telling this story went on to say, he called out amongst the ocean. He said, "My son, I love you. I know that you know Christ, and I will see you in heaven." And he saved his son's friend who did not know Christ. Preacher relayed this story, pointed down the front pew at an old man. He said, "The day that man saved my life, I dedicated it to Christ at no expense." Spare no expense to talk about Christ, to be a part of that, to be in the world. You know, we just glossed over Romans chapter 8. And I want you to go back to that 32nd verse. Now that you've heard me say this, and I want you to listen to that 32nd verse again. And if your throat don't get caught when I read it, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." Imagine that. I love the Max Lucado book, 6 Hours, One Friday. I highly recommend, if and you ain't read it, get it, read 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 it. He is so descriptive in that book. It's so wonderful because he says at one point, he's got a picture in there and you've got to paint a picture in your head of God and Jesus, Father and Son, sitting there talking to him, and he says, "Son, I'm fed up with them. That's it." And Jesus says, "Wait." He says, "No, I'm going to take them out. I can't take it anymore. I don't know what to do. They won't listen." Jesus said, "Dad, I'll go. But son," no dad, "but son, you are my most precious creation. Will it save them? But son, I'll go." God spared no expense to save you, me, us. We need to look at that from that angle. We need to remember that we need spare no expense when we talk about the Lord. You know, I told you all last Sunday there at the foot washing, at the love feast, that I got caught off guard last week. That a young man turned to me and said, "Paul, why don't you cuss?" What? He said, well, I ain't never heard you cuss. Am I supposed to? He goes, well, everybody else does. I know Christians that still do. That makes me laugh every time I see a Christian use a bad word. And they always start by going this way. Forgive me, Christ, but... If you're asking for forgiveness before you even get out of the gate, you better stop. But he said, you don't cuss. Well, not anymore, I don't. Why not? Well, it don't make no sense to me. What do you mean? I said, if you think about them words and the way you use them to describe certain things, it ought to make you gag. How'd you stop it? Because I am a child of God and an heir to the throne by my Savior Jesus Christ. I accepted Him in my heart. I gave everything over to Him. And while I am far from perfect, I will get through every day with Him. He could have easily sat over there and laughed at me. He could have said, what in the world's wrong with you? But instead He said, that's something to think about. I said, well, think about it and get back to me. I can talk to you about it. When I went to high school, there was a boy when I was in junior high and high school who was one rough cut piece of iron. He liked hitting the freshmen as they came through, the younger kids. He beat on them. He cussed. He even managed to get a picture of him put in a yearbook using his hands to make a derogatory sign. I don't need to be any more descriptive as to what it was. He was bad. One day I came to school and I was walking through the cafeteria and I saw him off in the corner with a Bible. Oh, this has got to be a trick. He's going to wait till I get over there and then hit me. I didn't go over there because I was little. But then I come to find out a couple of his best friends weren't his best friends anymore because he said, I don't know, man. He got that religion and you can't half talk to him. I remember the boy's name was Fran. I don't remember anything about him anymore. I don't know where he's at, but I remember he went through the rest of the high school carrying a Bible, taking time to read it, and had completely changed. Something got a hold of him, and he spared no expense in making sure he walked with God at the expense of all those around him walking away, and they made fun of him. Brothers and sisters, that's my encouragement. That's my request of you today. That's my want for you. Spare no expense. Don't look at it as dull and drudgery that you've got to do something for the church or that, hey, I got an opportunity here. What should I do? Just do it. And you'll be blessed beyond what you can begin to imagine. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get a 1957 Ferrari, which you think you'll look good in, except the door don't open wide enough to get your belly past. But you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed by those you don't even realize. You'll be blessed by things you can't begin to imagine. And I'll tell you what the biggest blessing is of sparing no expense to share the name of Christ. Do you know what it is? That feeling. Hey, I got to say that. Knowing that Christ spared nothing to save us ought to be enough to push you over the edge. Amen? Amen. This week, I challenge you to spare no expense and talk of Christ. Let us pray. God the Father, as we prepare to go out into the world, as we prepare to be turned loose again, as we prepare to take what we have learned today and bring it forth into the world, then I submit to you that you lead us and you guide us. I submit to you that you strengthen us for all that we can, all that we want, and all that we should be. And that we broadcast the name of Christ and His blessings openly. that we be reminded of what was given for us. And the only way we can pay that back is by a faith and a belief and by speaking His name and His gospel. Be with us, Father. Strengthen us in the time to come and give us this week. Challenge us. Put those people right smack in our face. And when we're done talking to them, they may not believe. But so what? Teach us to be more. Teach us to be who You would have us with these lessons. And we will spare no expense in doing Your work. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need this morning, heard a pastor say that no Sunday should ever end without an altar call. I like that because I try to. If you got a particular need of prayer this morning, if you need a particular strengthening, if you need whatever you need, you come forward as we sing this last hymn and have prayer.
We're going to change our last hymn to 505, He Touched Me. Please stand.
Sisters, as we depart from here today, I beg you to take up the challenge to speak of Him. To spare no expense to just say, hey, Christ knows you. And that's what we need to do. Right?
Right.
And now in the saving grace of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we walk from here, let us be evermore blessed. Let us be taken forth and guided through the week to come. I pray the blessings upon you all, my brothers and sisters, now and forevermore. Amen.